I know we've got some special guests in the church, and I think they are sitting at the back, so I want them to come to the front. Sister Claudia, where are you? She's the one I haven't met. Come to the front pew. Sister Malu and Sister Martha, please. I think they reserved these seats for you. That's Marilyn there, so you should be comfortable having Marilyn sit behind you. Good to see you, sisters. Thanks for coming. And Sister Claudia, you finally made it here.
Yeah,
welcome to Canada. Yeah. You came at the right time, when the weather is at its best. Thank you for coming. And Sister Martha, I understand it's your birthday today. I know you are 16. Yeah. But we'll pray for you at Mass. Happy birthday to you. I'd like to begin by saying, it's good to be back home. Good to be back. I hope, thank you. Thank you. I know there was a lot of talks about me not coming back. Will he be able to come back? And some people were saying, don't you think you should change your mind? And I said, remember my last Mass, I said, I will be back. Faith. And I am back. Good to be back. I hope you're all well. I hear a few people were sick when I was away. They waited for me to go away and then they took ill. That's because I wasn't around. Okay, now I'm back. Everyone has to be well. I'll unpack my stories over time. But I don't want to distract you this morning with my stories because Jesus has got a very special message for us this morning. And when I was flying back from Amsterdam to Calgary, which takes about 9 hours flight, for want of time, want of better things to do, I experienced something that forced me to focus on last things and my faith. And I'll just say it in summary. I won't go into detail. I will do that later. Well, we're flying back and something happened on the plane. We had an explosion and there was fire on our plane, the cabin. So we had to fly back to Scotland in 10 minutes. We landed in this field. I don't think they've ever seen a huge aircraft like that. It was an emergency landing. And it wasn't fun. I said my last prayers several times. I had another priest on the plane, but he was sitting in the economy, and I was in premium. And yeah, I thought of going to him to hear my confession for the last time, but they wouldn't even allow us to get up. So people were just, you know, even those without faith were praying to God that, okay, yeah, maybe this is the last time. Eventually, we landed anyway, and the plane was fixed, and we had to take the same aircraft back another 8 hours. So that wasn't fun. So, of course, when you get a near-death experience like that, you know what happens. You will not watch a movie for those 8 hours. Definitely not. You want to talk about God. So I resorted to this book. Thank God I had it with me in my hand luggage. And that's my missalette. So I closed my eyes and I said, okay, Lord, celebrate Mass the Sunday I arrive, the weekend I arrive, because I have to isolate for my own personal reasons, personal health. And I said, but the following week I should be okay. So I started looking at the gospel reading for this weekend. And I closed my eyes like I always do. And I said, okay, Lord, give me a message. What do you want me to say to your people? And then I opened the text. I read it the first time. I usually read it 3 times. Read it the first time. A few things stuck out for me. Read it the second time. And then I got this message. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And it's a message at the beginning that didn't make sense. And this was the message I got. It says, this is the story of a man blind yet could see. Is that not a contradiction? A man is blind, and yet he could see. And I was saying, no, this is not from God. This doesn't make sense. So I read the text the third time, and that message was heavy on my heart. So I decided to, thank God I had internet on the aircraft, because I was doing school before all this happened. So I decided to start researching and just do a bit of study into the text. And it was then I found out why that message came strongly to me. That this is the story of a man physically blind, but could see. Now, let's look at the background to that story. Jesus was going to Jericho, And from Jericho, Jesus was going to end up in Jerusalem. Guess what? That was Jesus' last journey. His last journey. He had been journeying for 3 years, right? And this was the last journey. No one in that crowd knew that Jesus was traveling for the last time. No one in that crowd, including the disciples, knew that 10 days from then, Jesus was going to die. No one knew. No one knew. And as usual, when Jesus walks, people follow him because he was a wise man. They wanted to borrow his brain, right, on a lot of issues. They love listening to him, even though they won't do what he tells them, right? And so there were people following Jesus, a large crowd, Mark tells us. We don't know whether they were in their hundreds, or in their 50s, or thousands. We don't know. But all these people were traveling with Jesus, not knowing that this was the last trip. And all of them were listening to Jesus, but none of them got the gist of Jesus' message except one man. And incidentally, that one man was a blind man. And is that not the story of your life, the story of my life? We can see, but as you get older, and I don't know whether the story is the same for you, as you get older, though you can physically see, your spiritual blind spots are growing by the day. I don't know whether it's the same for you, but I tell you it's the same for me. My blind spots are growing spiritually by the day. Let's go back to the message of this man, the story of this man. His name was Bartimaeus. His father's name was Timaeus, and he was blind. Whether he was born blind or he became blind at a very young age, we really don't know. But we'll research into that with time. I didn't spend time on that. But he was one man in the crowd who saw what others did not see. And so I went back to the message I got, the story of a man born blind, or story of a man blind, yet he could see. And 6 things came out to me as a message that I'd like to share with you. That even though this man was blind, there were a few things he could see, and he saw what was most important. Now you can see, I have my notes, which is so unlike me, in my missalette. That's to tell you that the only thing I got in the cabin that I could use to write on was my missalette. Thank God I had a pen. So I wrote my thoughts down. So let's look at the 6 things that makes me feel that this man was blind, but there were things he could see. The first thing was that even though he was blind, he could see that Jesus was the Christ. Okay, so this guy was a beggar, right? He was sitting on the street, begging. And then he heard commotion everywhere. And then he asked someone, what's happening? And they said, there's a popular guy who's passing by. And everyone wants to listen to him. And he said, who is this guy? How did they describe Jesus? What name did they give him? Anyone? Can I see a hand? Anyone? We see it in today's gospel reading. Who did they tell the blind man was passing? Jesus of Nazareth. They said to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But when he was going to cry to Jesus for help, did he say, Jesus of Nazareth, help me? He said, Son of David. Who is the Son of David? The Son of David is the Messiah. Everyone in that crowd saw a Jesus of Nazareth, an ordinary man, popular, wise, a good public speaker. That's it. But that man, even though he was blind, he was the only one among hundreds of people who saw beyond the Jesus of Nazareth to the Son of David. Is that not the story of your life? I'm here celebrating Mass this morning. You are here to attend Mass this morning, but do I really see the Jesus of Nazareth, or I see the Son of David? In the next few minutes, either the deacon or myself will be standing here and will be saying to you, body of Christ, what do you see? Do you see an ordinary wafer? Do you see communion, like our Protestant brothers see it? Do you see a happy meal? Or do you see the Son of David? You know why it's important? What you see is important. Because what you see determines your faith. Everyone in that crowd never got healed except one man. Because there was only one man who had the faith to be healed. It was only one man who saw beyond the son of Joseph, the son of a carpenter. And because he had the faith, he could receive it. Folks, we've got to move away from only what eyes can see, only what science can explain. We've got to move beyond that and see what is mysterious, what God is offering us. So my first point is, he was blind, but he saw the most important thing. He alone could see a Jesus, the son of David. Secondly, my notes here, I said he could see that this was his only chance to be cured. I didn't say his last chance. Only chance. And I use the word only because this man had never in his lifetime had an opportunity to be cured by someone. Never. It had never happened because there was no any other Jesus. This is the first time he encounters Jesus, and he knew in his heart of heart that this is the only chance, because after 10 days, Jesus will be gone. And what did he do? He grabbed it. Remember the story 2 weeks ago, I think about 2 weeks ago, a rich man who came to Jesus and he said, how can I make heaven? He really wanted to get to heaven. And he got the last chance to make heaven. And when Jesus told him what he needed to do, what did he do? He turned his back. He lost the only opportunity. Well, today we see a better news of someone who got the only chance and he took it. Are we taking our chances? Are we just coming here every Sunday and nothing changes? Are we just coming just to, like we say, obligation? Are we going to take the chance this morning to allow Jesus to wrap us into his arms so that we can encounter him and experience his healing? The third thing that makes me say the man was blind but he could see is that the man could see through the crowd that they were wrong. So he asked them, who is passing by? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he could see in his heart that no, this is not a Jesus of Nazareth. This is the Son of God. Because it was the same crowd 10 days after then, you remember that story, who yelled, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, the same crowd. Because why did they say they should crucify him? All they saw in Jesus is a Jesus of Nazareth. That's all they saw. Nothing beyond that. They didn't see anything beyond. That's why they said crucify. If they had known this is the son of David, they wouldn't dare say crucify him because that's their Messiah. But this man knew the crowd was wrong. You telling me this is Jesus of Nazareth? I remember they were trying to stop him. When he wanted to run to Jesus, they said, come on, where are you going to? Even those with sight can't have access to him. And you blind beggar, you've got no money from a poor home. You think you're going to have access to Jesus? But because he knew who he wanted. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he stood to gain, stand to gain. What did he do? He wouldn't listen to them. He wouldn't believe them because he knew the truth. The fourth reason why I think this man was blind yet he could see is that he could see that there was no turning back. Remember the story of the rich man? He turned back and that was it. This guy was wise enough to know that this is my only opportunity and I've got to grab it. And what did he do? Scriptures tells us that he threw off his cloak. Remember, he was a beggar. He took everything away. He threw it off and ran to Jesus. You know, when the Bible tells you that someone took off his cloth, what it means spiritually, it spiritually means he accepted repentance. That's the meaning of throwing off your cloak, accepting repentance. The guy accepted Jesus as Lord of his life. And I, like I said in Langham this morning, that is the hardest bit. Because we're people of habits, right? And just breaking habits is so hard. And daily God is calling us to break certain habits so that we can encounter him more fully. And that habit means taking off this old cloak of sin. But we're saying to Jesus, if I take off this cloak, I'm going to die of cold because it's so cold outside. I need this cloth. I need this warm jacket. And Jesus is saying, I'll give you something better than this. But the old habit doesn't allow us to trust Jesus. This guy did not, he took his chances, he threw off everything and went after Jesus. And then the fifth reason why I think this man was blind, yet he could see, was that in the midst of everyone that could see, it took a blind man, the only blind man there, to see what was obvious. He knew what was obvious. You know, when Jesus said to him, when Jesus finally asked him to come, and he came to Jesus trembling, Jesus asked him the dumbest question you can ever ask. What did Jesus ask him? Jesus said, "So what do you want me to do for you?" Come on, Jesus, you should know what this guy wants. You should know. Come on, you are God. You know everything. Why do you ask that dumb question? Well, he asked that question because he also asks you every day. He asked me that question every day. Why does God ask you something that he knows you need? We answered this question, if you remember, sometime before one of our Sunday reflections before I left. Because your answer determines your level of faith. When you say to Jesus, "I need this," you are saying to Jesus, "I want this, but I can't get it on my own, but I trust that you can give it to me." That's faith. So that's why he asked, not because he doesn't know. This is why we pray. Some people say, "If he knows everything, why do I have to tell him?" Well, when you tell him, you are simply saying, first of all, admitting, "I can't do this on my own, and I need help from you." So that's why he asked the man, "What do you want?" And by the way, this man was a beggar, right? All he did for a living was to beg. If he doesn't beg any day, he's got no food. So he hangs out on this popular street where people are, you know, going to work, and all he does sits there and says, "Please give me something for breakfast. Give me food, money for lunch." That's all he does. And then he comes on this day. Actually, market was good that day because there were lots of people on the street. And then Jesus asked him, "What do you need?" The natural thing to say to Jesus is, "I do not have food today, Jesus. And I have no money to buy food for my family." But the man saw what was more important than getting food on his table, right? The obvious. Do we see the obvious? You know, after I preached yesterday evening, I went back home and I was reflecting on what I preached. And I stood on this point and I said, do I see the obvious, Jesus? And I realized I even don't. Because I started looking at my prayer points. Look at what you pray for. Just look at your prayer list. Look at what you pray for. Do you pray for what is most important? And I'll tell you, you don't, because I don't. And actually, I changed my prayer point this morning. Oh, where did I leave my card? My PAG card. Okay, yeah, brought it. I had to write my prayer point this morning on my PAG card. Do you know what we should be praying for now? Not promotion at work, because that won't last. Not even strength to raise our kids, because that won't last. Not protection from COVID, because that won't last. You know what we should be praying for? Topmost on our list, "Lord, increase my faith." You know why? Because everything happening around us now is taking our faith away. We live in a world now that looks like God is no longer in charge. I tell you, I have asked him several times. I went home and things are just, couldn't recognize my country anymore. And I said, "God, are you really, really in charge? Have you given up? It looks like the devil is winning." And I realized days after that, I'm talking from a point of lack of faith. You know, the disciples came to Jesus. They didn't ask for anything else. They said, "Increase our faith, Lord. Just increase it. We need faith to trust in God's process, that these two will pass away." We need faith to trust that God is in charge. Now, the final reason why I said he was blind, but you could see, this is the biggest one, and I'll save the best for the last. The man could see that he was blessed. Now, what do I mean here? This guy was blind. We don't know from at what point in his life, but I'm sure on so many occasions he must have turned to God and asked God, "So why did you create me? What is my purpose, Lord? So did you create me so that I'll sit on the streets and beg for money? Did you create me that I can't fend for myself and my family? I have to keep begging? Is that the purpose for which you created me? Take my life." Tell me someone here listening to me this morning who is above the age of 19 or even 16 who hasn't asked that same question. "Why did you create me, God? Because it looks like I have no purpose." Tell me who hasn't asked that question. This guy must have asked that question on so many occasions because of his situation, right? Where am I headed to? Am I created to be a beggar? But just one day in his adult life. Maybe he was in his 40s, maybe he was in his 60s, we don't know. He finally found out the reason why he was created. And why? Did you listen to the first reading, Prophet Jeremiah? Jeremiah tells us the signs that will show when the Messiah comes. So Jeremiah makes a list of all the things the Messiah will do. His work was cut out for him. He's going to have to do this, he will do this. And when he starts doing all this, then you know he's the Messiah. Jeremiah tells us in today's first reading. And one of those tasks is what? He will open the eyes of the blind. So actually, Jesus was coming to the end of his mission, and there was still a job on his bucket list that he had not completed. And then he finds a blind man to fulfill that prophecy. So actually, that blind man was doing Jesus a favor. He was actually doing Jesus a favor. And so when he encounters Jesus, how do you think he felt? Aha! Now I know why God created me blind. Oh, I thought he created me blind because he doesn't love me. I thought he created me blind because I do not matter to him. Now I know the reason. He created me blind so that one day I will encounter his only son. And his only son will open my eyes. And everyone in the world, through me, will know that this is the Messiah. Praise God, he says. I want to end this long African homily. I just got back from Africa where mass is 2.5 hours. So it's going to take a while before I adjust to Canada, Canadian time. I want to end by asking you a question that I hope will fill your week. So this is it. This week, God is going to do something he does every time. What is it? He's going to be scanning throughout the world, just going about with his angels, just going about from house to house, from workplace to workplace, from church to church. He's scanning around. Do you know what he's looking for? Looking for someone who would be a Bartimaeus that God can use to bring healing. Are you going to be one? Or are you just going to be like Father Peter, who every week hides himself from God? He's obscure to God and turns around and complains that God doesn't care. Are you going to be a Bartimaeus this week, or are you going to be one of the crowd who just thought this is an ordinary savior? Are you going to allow this moment to be a time for you to fulfill an obligation, or a time to encounter Jesus that brings healing? I just invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and I'll be inviting, we'll be listening to a beautiful song written many years ago by Michael W. Smith, and it's a song you all know, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
You're welcome to sing along.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high lifted up.
Shining.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and might.
Pour out your power and love. As we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
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 Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I want to see you, Lord.
I want to see you.
To see you highly lifted.
To see you highly lifted up.
shining in the light,
shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out, O Lord,
pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
I want to
see you.
Lord, please open the eyes of our heart so that we can see you this week. Do not allow the burdens and challenges of life to distract us from the goal. Help us, Lord, to be able to, this week, to look beyond the challenges and to see you, not as Jesus of Nazareth, but as the Son of David. Lord, use us this week for your glory, and may we find our purpose in you. In Jesus' name we pray.